Welcome to the Healthcare IS podcast, where we tackle today's challenges in the health IT workforce. Broadcasting live from Sacramento, California, here's your host, David Cushon.
Hi, this is David Cushon, managing partner of Healthcare IS. Thanks for tuning in. Before we get going today, just a quick announcement. On our blog, every other week, we will now have a new slide share that we put together. These are presentations that we're condensing down. We've heard that many people like this format, brief and concise. These formats are coming. The slide shares are coming from our blog, so it's something we've heard. We're trying to accommodate the people that are on our blog on a regular basis and listening to our podcasts. So we're just saying we've heard you, and we'll have those twice a month now moving forward. Okay, so for today's podcast, we have an interview with Joshua Waldman. Joshua is an expert in using social media tools for your career search, and we're looking forward and excited to have him as a guest in our podcast today. Okay, well, welcome to the interview section of our podcast today. I'm very excited to have the guest that we have today. This is out of the norm for us. We're really trying to branch out for our listeners, not only from a job seeker perspective, but from a hiring manager perspective, and be a resource that can provide as much information as possible in helping people advancing their career or helping build their teams. And today we've kind of got out of the norm a little bit by bringing somebody in from the outside who is really known nationally as a specialist in their space. Our guest today is Joshua Waldman. Joshua is the author of Job Searching with Social Media for Dummies. The book is now out for the last 3 to 4 weeks in its second edition. Josh is recognized as one of the nation's top authorities in social media career advancement. Josh, thanks so much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Dave.
So just to get started, before we go into more of your background, just give the listeners today some insight in terms of what you're doing in the marketplace, how you work with job seekers, what types of services you have to offer, and your level of expertise that you're making available to the marketplace today.
Well, the mission of Career Enlightenment, my company, is to help as many people as possible get to work using technology. In our day and age, that technology happens to be social media, just based on its prevalence. So I offer ways to do that to different types of folks out there, students. I enjoy going to college campuses and speaking. I've written a For Dummies book, as you mentioned, and that's really for everybody. It's an encyclopedia of really understanding social media. I just started offering a LinkedIn profile writing services, and that's more for mid-level professionals who are a little bit frustrated with the results that they're getting on LinkedIn and need a little bit of a boost. As well as for unemployed professionals, I run a couple of programs here in Portland, and that's expanding to California, that help unemployed professionals go through some coursework, some training, so that they're feeling a lot more confident about their ability to find work online.
Okay, great. Thanks for letting us know and get that right out there so everybody can get a good idea of the broad bandwidth of knowledge that you have in the areas of expertise that you could assist people out in the marketplace. And I know you mentioned it. The website is careerenlightenment.com. That, of course, will be in our blog show notes for the podcast when we complete. So tell me, Josh, a little bit about your background. I know we've had some conversation. Things seemed to be going smoothly for you. And then in 2008 and 9, things started to change a little bit. I know from our conversations. Tell our listeners a little bit about what happened during that period of time, some of the challenges you faced, and what really changed for you.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people were affected by the downturn in 2008. I certainly was. I remember where I was and what day of the week it was, what time of day it was when I got laid off for the first time. And I was laid off from Cisco, which isn't such a terrible thing because, well, they give you a pretty nice severance, and there's a whole network of companies who would love to hire an ex-Cisco employee. So getting that next job wasn't so bad. And I think I had it pretty easy at that point. You know, after I started that work with a Cisco partner up here in Portland, 6 months later, I was laid off again. and they couldn't even sustain the extra salesperson in my markets. Seems like wherever I was going, we're just drying out. So it was a hard time. You know, it was the second time I was laid off. It was early 2009, second time I was laid off in 6 months. And for someone with my background, you know, I had an MBA, I had an undergraduate degree from an Ivy League school. You know, this isn't supposed to happen to me, right? And,
sure.
And I felt like, wow, you know, I'm really not in control of what's going on here with my life. It was a real wake-up call. I think, you know, looking back at this and looking at some other folks who I've worked with, there really is only one inevitable end to having a job, and that's you're not going to have it someday.
That's right.
You know, nothing else is going to happen. You're not going to own the company. You're going to either quit, be laid off, or fired. There's no alternative. And so, you know, to start thinking about that next step early before that, those three options happen, was something I really didn't do. And I really encourage people who are gainfully employed to think about that a little bit. And that's why I really suggest getting involved with LinkedIn early. Not, don't wait, but build your career now, build your network now, so that when you need it later, you're going to have a little bit of a cushion.
Sure. Sure. Now at that time you begin a job search. I know you're working for a technology company. I know that that's something that you have always seemed to have an interest in. Mm-hmm. Were you strongly familiar at that time with the tools that would help you begin to look for your next career move? Or was this something that you were learning as you began the process?
I've always been an early adopter of social. I remember my first year at Cisco, I actually started the LinkedIn group called Cisco.
Interesting. Yeah,
because I believed in LinkedIn back then. You know, I traveled the world and met executives from various Asian countries when I was getting my international MBA, and I believed in it. I just didn't know it was the thing that was going to help my career later on. I just enjoyed it, really.
Sure.
Yeah.
Did you start off after the second position went away? Did you decide to do something completely different at that time, or were you getting yourself back into the job market per se to look for something new? How did that kind of evolve for you?
Yeah, I was looking for work. You know, it was just like I went through the unemployment program, and they told me, you know, you're not even going to get a job interview these days for another 3 to 6 months. Like, set your expectations realistically.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh my God, seriously?
Yeah.
It's that bad. In fact, Portland at that point was just below Detroit in the unemployment rate. So it was mm-hmm. pretty bad here. So I was like, well, you know, I might as well have fun while I can. So I just got on LinkedIn and started to use Twitter more actively and set appointments for myself and was meeting people. And, you know, people in these meetings were saying things like, so how can I help you? And I'm like, it's just a pleasure to talk to you. You know, like how can I help you? I don't want anything from you. And I just got out there and started meeting people and building my local network and learning what companies were growing and what companies were failing and to just get a sense of what was happening here. And pretty soon I was walking into job interviews and really didn't take me very long. It took me a couple of weeks of networking and people were asking me to come into job interviews or saying, you know, hey, there's this great position that I thought of you for. So, you know, the 3 months went down to like 3 weeks and I just took it for granted. Like, oh, this is just, you know, me using social media. What's the big deal? And when I was telling people what I was doing, their jaws dropped. And I realized I actually had something here that could probably help a lot of people and that not everyone had the same ideas and ideals that I have around technology.
Now their jaws dropped because you talked about doing things that they were just completely unfamiliar with at the time.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because I heard, you know, somebody who's in the career marketplace, I heard a number of things that really grabbed my attention. The first thing I heard was, I guess after that person sets your expectations, and the thought I had there is maybe they could help with, you know, attitude management. It didn't certainly seem like they're giving people hope, but I completely understand that they're trying to manage expectations. Did that? And right after that, what you mentioned was that you went out to just go go to the market and start to meet people. It wasn't as if you were looking for a position, you were starting to meet people. So in some way, did the fact that they were managing your expectations that there may not be a job for 3 to 6 months and you feeling that you needed to do something, it kind of changed your focus a little bit, it sounds like.
Yeah, it did change my focus. And you know, I did. I mean, of course, I applied for jobs. You have to in order to maintain unemployment benefits. You have to apply. And I did. And I walked into job interviews. And, you know, frankly, I'll tell you one experience I had. I walked into a job interview. I was so unprepared and so uninterested in this company. I just decided to say yes to everything they asked me.
Sure. Sure.
So they were like, "Have you ever sold green construction material before?" I was like, "Yeah." Like, when? Well, I like fluorescent light bulbs.
That's right. You're just going with it.
Didn't really, and there was some part of me that was just not interested in working. I guess I was so, you know, part of it was because they said, you know, wait for 3 months before even expecting anything to happen. But also, I don't know if you've ever had this experience before, but when you're laid off, it's traumatic.
Yes.
It hurts. It was a very painful experience existentially for me. And, you know, and I would walk into a company and I'd like the company, for example. And then the only thing I could think about was, wow, cool company. I wonder what it would feel like to get laid off from here.
Right.
I wasn't ready. I just wasn't ready.
Okay. Okay. So you get out there and you take the approach of starting to meet people and you're using social media for that. So you also talked about how you would meet people and how you could help them. So how can you, you know, bridge for me if you can, how somebody who's taking an approach or recognizing that there's social media tools out there that allow people to have a presence. You talk about on your website several references to personal branding and you know, managing your own image online. Can you talk to me a little bit about that, on how people today who are not as familiar with these tools as you are, what they can start to do and how maybe they need to look at things a little bit differently because of these tools that are available?
I was at a leadership training conference a couple of years ago. It was a very small group. It was probably 7 or 8 of us, business owners or managers, learning these techniques. And one of the guys in the room was he's a guy's guy. Drinks beer, watches football, and owns a restoration company. I mean, these are folks who cut down huge trees and fix floods and that kind of stuff. Big heavy equipment operators. And so, you know, he sort of had this, you know, anti-woo-woo radar going on. And I told him what I did. I said, look, you know, I help people find work using social media. He started laughing. He said, "Oh, really? That has no relevance to me." I said, "Oh, really?
Okay.
Tell me about your most recent hire." And he says, "Well, you know, I was trying to find a front desk person. I had 3 candidates. I Googled one of them, you know, she looked great on the resume. I Googled her. It turns out she was like, an exotic dancer in her previous role or something." He said, "So I disqualify her." I said, "So tell me again how you don't use social media in your hiring process."
Yeah, exactly.
Everyone does, even if they don't admit it. Everyone. And in fact, JobVite's 2013 State of Recruiting study had just come out about a month ago. And, they found that recruiters, this is a global study, recruiters are now at 94% adoption of social media, and all of them plan on spending more time and money in using social media to build their teams. It's ubiquitous. It has changed the name of the game. And if you don't know how to use it strategically, you become one of those sorry statistics of people who are winding up in jobs that they don't really like.
That makes a lot of sense. What would you say from what you see in the market right now, or just as you're looking around at some of the social media tools out there or the networks out there, what are some things that are very easy for people to do that, from what you've seen, they're just not doing?
Number one is to think about your message first. You know, we have this shiny object syndrome problem in our society, and it's not this country. It's really the basis of our whole economy. Is circle around this fallacy that technology is going to solve our problems, and it's not. It never has. You know, if you read some of the futurists and economic commentators back in the 50s and 60s, they're saying the exact same things that we're saying now. We're running out of energy. Technology has caused more expectations on productivity and our lives, our quality of life is going down. You know, all of these things kind of circle around that fallacy that we kind of think technology is going to make our lives easier. And so when we hear, oh, social media is the way to go to advance your careers, the instinct that's been drilled into us since the day we were born is to go and totally use the technology. Just go on LinkedIn and fill out your profile. Go on Facebook, fill out your profile. Start tweeting. The problem with this approach is that you haven't thought about the strategy yet. And so what can happen is you come across as being very flippant to the perception of a recruiter who's looking for very specific things. And they have very specific roles that they need to fill. And if you're just on there because it's going to solve your problem and you just need to be on there, you're not going to get very far. That's a mistake a lot of people make. And so what I would suggest you do is slow down a little bit and say, okay, you know, let's accept the reality that you have to be on LinkedIn, but it's not in and of itself the solution. The solution is how you engage with the technology. So think about that message first before you start filling out the profile. What's that one thing you want a recruiter or hiring manager to remember about you? And then translate that, be consistent across all of your messaging, all of your profiles, but just not just your profiles, but your posts, so that you're on brand, you're on target, you're on message.
You know, that's a great point. I spend a lot of time talking with people about how they can be, or the things that they need to do in order to be viewed as a specialist in their marketplace. And when people are out, you know, looking for their next full-time job, or a lot of the consultants we work with look for their next contract, I say to them, it's not about getting interviews. It's about getting the ideal position for yourself. And would you rather position yourself to have, get two interviews and have a 90% chance of each of the two interviews getting the position, or being, somebody that 10 companies will interview you for, but you have a 3% chance at each of the 10 positions. And, you know, what I'm hearing from you is, or what I should say is that many people feel like casting this wide net, and I'm hearing you say, you know, decide what you want to be to the market and get that message across. Is that kind of in line?
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, before maybe 5 years ago, progress on the job search was how many applications you sent out, how many resumes you sent out.
Right.
I think these days it's a different conversation. It's how many new people have you had conversations with? How on target is your message? That kind of a thing.
Got it. Now, if you were to speak to somebody who may be listening right now that isn't very familiar with what's out there, I think people need to sit down and really think of that message they want to get across. And that's not something they can probably accomplish in 5 minutes. And I know that that's where you provide services to help people with that sort of thing. But just to give people kind of an overall, from your opinion, I know most people, there's a lot of tools, there's a lot of social networks out there, but the ones that people have heard of the most, from what I've seen, most people I talk to have heard of LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook. Could you just share with the listeners maybe just a brief overview of each and where they really fit into maybe an overall strategy?
Yeah, so, you know, studies are coming out and just reinforcing that it's the big three that you have to be really paying attention to. And it depends whose perspective. If you're looking from a recruiting perspective, LinkedIn, Facebook, and then Twitter is the order of priority. If you're looking from the job seeker's perspective, your perspective, you're actually probably going to find better luck on Facebook, believe it or not, for several key reasons. Number one, the sheer size of Facebook. It just, you know, there's so many people using it actively, a lot. And now with Graph Search having rolled out to everybody, Graph Search is where you can use natural language search to go through the entire public record of Facebook's information on people. So, for example, if you wanted to find friends of friends who work at Cisco in Hawaii, okay, you could find them with no problem. And then because they're friends of friends, you can ask for that introduction and start having conversations with people. I don't think we've even begun to broach the power of Facebook's graph search at this point. And there's not a lot of people talking about it. What we do know for sure is that companies prefer to have internal referrals. Internal referrals tend to be more successful candidates.
Absolutely.
We know that internal referrals come from employees, friends, and family. Well, guess which network has your friends and family? It's Facebook.
Facebook, right.
And right. So, you know, I think there's this weird separation that people have in their head of personal and professional that actually never existed before these networks came out. 50 years ago, your friends were from work and your family hired you. So there was never a separation between personal and professional. And just because these networks have created these false dichotomies doesn't mean we have to fall prey to them. And, you know, if our friends and our family have always referred us to possible opportunities, then why not take advantage of that and use Facebook for professional networking? What's wrong with that? And as a matter of fact, many people do that. Something on the order of 18 million Americans have gotten their jobs through the use of Facebook. So it's no small number. The next network to pay attention to is LinkedIn, obviously, because this is where recruiters hang out. Something like more than 50% of LinkedIn's user base are recruiters. So recruiters use LinkedIn like a big database. And the cool thing is that the more recruiters you have in your network and the better your profile is, the more you're likely to show up on search results. So there's sort of a passive approach to LinkedIn. You know, look great, have a great profile, have a big network that's strategically grown in the direction of recruiters who recruit in your industry, and your chances of getting discovered go up. Now that's a very passive way to approach the job search. You could also take this proactively and use the advanced search features of LinkedIn and find folks who work at companies you do want to work for, and then reach out to them for information interviews.
As somebody who, you know, first I should say, you know, I just had a thought that popped in my mind, but I wanted to say that the comments you made on each of those, I think, were excellent. And what I took from this is you've really, and this is part of the challenge out there for a lot of people, is you're really talking about a mindset shift that has to occur before these tools can be used, number one, and number two, used effectively. And that's a big change that's happening right now. The example you gave of the person at the beginning, they're already in social media. They just don't realize it. It's almost as if they're shying away from a label and being a part of that label. But do you have, as somebody who is a staff augmentation firm, is what we do, consulting, help people find positions. We're one of those recruiters. What I tend to find that's interesting is, you know, being in the business for 20 years, when I got started, the only way you got in touch with somebody was to make a phone call. And people were not necessarily overwhelmed by recruiters calling them. Their information wasn't out there. What I hear a lot of today is these people that are successful and they are being identified in the market are feeling a little overwhelmed with how often they're being reached out to. There could be a number of recruiters contacting them. It's hard for them to determine who should I get back to or not. It's almost a full-time job in itself. So, the conversations I have with people is how they can narrow that group down into a manageable handful of people that they can, you know, have as a resource, have a mutually beneficial relationship with. Do you have any advice for how you can be proactive in reaching out to the right recruiters and building relationships with them? So they get to know, you know, I always tell people recruiters have favorites. You know, if we get a position and there's multiple people that are qualified for it, you know, we're humans and we're going to reach out to people that we're most comfortable with. Do you have any insight you can give on how people can manage that? I mean, let's say they're doing a good job. They've done things effectively. Everybody's finding them. How do you manage that?
Well, first of all, Wouldn't most of us love to have that problem?
Sure.
Of too many recruiters contacting us. I mean, what a better sign of having career success. That's one of those problems you'd like to have in life. You know, like too many great options.
That's right.
I hear people complain. I talked to a guy this summer who had such a specialization in his technical ability that he knows confidently that he can walk into any job that he wants to. And he had a sense of, well, of course it was confidence, but it was also pretty cocky. I think first of all, my sympathies do not go out to people who have too many recruiters calling them.
Well, I think yeah. Let me just kind of qualify it a little bit. I mean, think some of the challenges you could get reached out to by say 10 recruiters and, not all are equal, which I have a biased opinion, of course. Some have gotten into the business 30 days ago and some have been in the business for 5+ years. And it's a type of business that does have a lot of turnover. So I guess I was looking at the question more on how they can go about identifying who it's worth staying in touch with. So I understand the point of at least the actions coming to them, they've done something right. So how do they make sure that they can be in touch with the right people that can really help them? I guess if that makes sense.
Yeah. And that comes back down to strategy. Cause if you know what companies you want to work for, then why would you work with a recruiter? Sorry if I'm letting you off.
No, fair enough.
But if you know, I mean, if Bob knows that he wants to work for Symantec, why would he find a recruiter? He could just as easily go on LinkedIn, identify an information interview source and start having conversations. And he can do that within 5 minutes on LinkedIn or these days on Facebook. So, you know, the proactive approach to LinkedIn isn't necessarily engaging with recruiters. It's engaging with the company.
And, you know, just to reiterate, I didn't feel slighted at all by that comment. I think the reality is, and this is where I'll make a comment about my own industry, is that, you know, the people that are, you know, a firm like ours is used by organizations only when those organizations haven't been able to identify people who are ideal for their role. So this is all about why I appreciate you being on our podcast, talking to people who have an idea where they want to be and help them get there. The recruiting firm isn't supposed to try to put themselves in the middle of something that's going to happen already. They're there at the end of a process to bring value where things haven't been able to come together on their own. So I just thought I'd take an opportunity to make that distinction, but you know, that's a good point. And I think that's part of the challenge. And I think that's part of what I was trying to get out of this is sometimes people are a little too passive and wait for it to come to them, but how do they get proactive about it? And again, of course, that goes back to the big picture, right?
Yeah, that's right. The big picture is that's that first step. What do you want? Who are you? What do you want? And who are you going to help?
Well, you know, of course, I think something that changes with social media is it makes it a little bit easier for people who don't view themselves as very aggressive per se. You know, I was telling people 15, 20 years ago, you know, if you know there's a company you want to work for, pick up the phone and call somebody there. And it was almost as if you weren't allowed to do that. Like there was some rule written somewhere where you're not allowed to do that. And today some people just aren't comfortable picking up, or back then they weren't comfortable picking up the phone and being, as they viewed it, so forward. But today with email or, you know, websites, it's a little bit easier for a more passive person to at least reach out.
It is easier to reach out and it's less scary. I just got a book review today from a woman who's an introvert researcher with several books out on quiet leadership.
Okay.
And, I think it's funny. Her review of the book was basically social media helps with introverts who are, you know, who struggle with picking up the phone and talking to new people. They can send an email on LinkedIn and kind of test the waters first. And if there's interest, then they'll feel better about making that connection.
That's right. Absolutely. Well, Joshua, you spent a good significant amount of time with us today. I really appreciate that. Any final thought? I mean, we've talked strategy and big picture and defining the message. Any final thoughts that you can leave our listeners with that might help them get started?
Well, just do something. You know, I think there's this risk of feeling overwhelmed, you know, because, you know, all the social media pundits and experts and technology websites and the news media kind of make this into a really big thing. And it's not, it's just a tool like a hammer or a saw. And what you're really doing is you're just networking. And if you're going to think about it in that terms, then you pick the tool that's appropriate for the kind of networking you want to do. So start with what you want to accomplish and then pick the tool. Don't start with a tool. Don't say, I have to start using social media because say, look, I need to network because networking is going to help my career. And what's a network I can use? What's a tool I can use to find someone who's working at my ideal company? And then pick that one. That's how I would approach this. And I think that will help alleviate any sense of, I don't know where to start. This is too much. It's too complicated. It's not that bad. Just know what you want to get out of the tool. And I think the rest will just fall into place.
Well, that's great advice to give a real, real specific focus point there, that I know people that are listening, will certainly get value from. Again, our guest today has been Joshua Waldman, author of Job Searching with Social Media for Dummies, the second edition, just recently out. Joshua, again, thank you so much for being with us.
It's been a pleasure, Dave. Thanks.
Thanks for being with us here today. As always, want to direct you back to our website for all the show notes and links for today's podcasts. Also, don't forget to catch us on Google+, Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn for an overall inside view on Healthcare IS. Until next time, thanks for being with us.